Hello and welcome to Breaking Geek Rio, the podcast, the premier podcast of LRM Online. I'm your host, Brandon Jones, and this week in the booth, we've got Manny. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
I am so happy that you're here because we have something that is right in your wheelhouse to discuss. And not just Manny in the booth, we've also got Jammer and Nick. Gents, good. How's it going?
Except for my finger hurts.
What is actually a wheelhouse? Where did that term, what's the etymology of wheelhouse? What the fuck is a wheelhouse? Like, literally.
You're going to do this to me right now? Right now we're going to do this? We have a show to do, and all you're right. Asking me where words come from.
That language is interesting, because when you start thinking about stories, and you think, I'm going to make up a word. It's like, all right, well, we pull that word. It's like, oh, I'm from Latin roots. Like, what does it say about the world that we have Latin roots that you're basing words on? And it's just stoned
all the time.
It's a rabbit hole. No, I'm not stoned.
All the time, I mean, because you're always asking stupid-ass questions.
Those aren't stupid questions. Those are good questions.
I'm trying to give Jammer as good as he gives.
Wow. Do I give good? Okay, I'll take it.
I swear. So, you know how you press play on a tape, like an old tape, and you slow it down real slow? That's what Nick sounds like right now. He's
okay. You got your sexy voice going on. I turn into a tape deck. Sorry, I don't mean to make fun of you, but I do mean to make fun of you.
Can you sing Hallelujah from the Justice League trailer?
I'd rather not. The version from Watchmen.
So listen, we've assembled this crack team of folks, particularly Manny, because DC fandom just happened last week. Now we have a ton of news to talk about. And one thing I did want to ask you guys, and I should have, but where do you all want to start? There's so much. Let's start with Batman. Let's get the biggest one out of the way. I feel like this will be the one that we talk about the most. Maybe. I don't know. Mostly because it's Batman. So we finally got a trailer for this. Matt Reeves himself came out and dropped this trailer for DC fandom on us. And we got to see some footage from the Batman. We got to see the vehicle, the Batmobile in live action. We got to see the suit in live action. And Manny, you're the guest this week. I'd like to get your impressions of this trailer. Was it everything you wanted it to be? Was it white toast? What was it? How did you feel?
So if we're talking about everything I wanted it to be, not exactly. I wanted to see Ben Affleck get his own movie.
You get over that shit. That's like a year and a half old news.
No.
Let's move on, Manny. I can imagine Manny during the thing. He's like, wait, what's this? Where the fuck's Ben Affleck?
No. Okay, so let me finish the answer. It'll make a lot more sense. But it is what it needed to be for a year two story. I mean, we have what we saw there, and it's a conversation we had on the live feed. The co-host to the Comic Source podcast, Jace, really disliked Robert Pattinson's portrayal of Batman.
I have a problem with Jace's portrayal of being a good opinion maker.
Oh my God. Listen, we have this guy on the show. We brought him for his DC knowledge. You're just like, I don't care. I don't want any of it. Yeah, you know, let him get a word out edgewise. So, man, finish. And then you can tear it to bits.
So what I'm trying to say is it's what it needs to be for the story that Matt Reeves is trying to tell. It's an imperfect Batman, an imperfect Bruce Wayne, very, very scarred, obviously, new to the whole superhero game, and obviously still has a ton of anger issues. Although one could really argue that Batman, his whole life, has anger issues, regardless of where he is in his career. He's just been able to channel that anger into a specific direction, which is, I guess you can call it justice or vengeance. Whatever it is.
Or maybe you like coaching a basketball team in an underprivileged section of Gotham.
His
The Way Back, starring Ben Affleck. That was your Batman movie that you wanted. The Way Back, starring
Ben Affleck. I thought you were going to say The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, no. The Way Back.
Practice.
Bats fly together. Squee!
So Spider-Man.
What's great about it, it's a really, we can see by the trailer, it's a real like noir take on the character. Different, a lot different than what we've seen before. And so it's great because it could kind of separate itself from everything else that we've seen in DCEU. And I'm looking forward to it, especially because knowing that the trailer came together only using 25% of any footage that they have filmed yet. And I still don't believe that's Colin Farrell. That prosthetic guy on his face, I still look at it and I'm like, that's not Colin Farrell.
Oh, so you believe
because
it,
it's actually like, Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay. Wow, they did us again.
Yeah,
but I mean, just it was a really, really good first showing of the Batman. And I mean, people are still talking about it today, and it was from Saturday, deciphering Riddler clues and stuff. It's like, can you guys just like, all right, just relax for a little bit? Like, I get it. I'm excited too. You know, because anytime there's Batman, he's my favorite superhero. But I will say though, the amount of Batmans on screen and in comic books right now, it's like it's their only character. But I get it. It's their cash cow. So you got to put them out there as much as you can.
Sure.
Okay. So, Nick Dahl, we got a look at Riddler, possibly Penguin, and Catwoman.
Actually,
these character designs.
Riddler question mark, Riddler Hush duo combo. You know, if
yeah,
Riddler,
I mean,
Hush had a child and spat it out into the world. Is that what we got with this one?
We'll see. We'll see if that's what they're trying to do with it. It was a very different look for the character. But Nick Dahl, I'm curious what you think about these character designs.
I love the Batman suit.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I would during like the Daredevil tease and the set photos.
I feel like I wanna put you in shadows. That way it looks like you're an anonymous like source or something that's like talking. It's what you sound like. You sound like, oh,
follow the money. Follow the money.
I'm being threatened by the government right now. And I'm really, really terrified for my life at this moment. So this is really difficult for me to come out about this.
All right. Specifically, though, Riddler, Penguin, Catwoman.
Penguin? I didn't really. I was like, where is Colin Farrell in this? Because it looks like Richard Kind, the comedian who's like in Curb Your Enthusiasm and Scrubs. He's like the hypochondriac. And I was like, what? He was cast in this? And they're featuring him prominently, featuring him. And then love the bat suit. Catwoman's gonna be Catwoman. Of course, it's gonna be like a year two, like not really even a costume kind of the direction. They mostly went with the Dark Knight, where she had like a cat burglar suit, but just lifting her glasses made her look like she had like ears or whatever by coincidence. And Riddler, I think it is gonna be like Riddler slash Hush combination, and it's terrifying.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting observation. And I do think one of the things that the Riddler said made that slightly more interesting. So at the end of the trailer, if that is the conversation that he's having with Robert Pattinson's Batman, where he says something worse to the effect of, you know, you're part of this too, you'll find out how. So Hush is a character that knows everything about Bruce Wayne and Batman. So it'll be interesting to see if they've just, you know, mushed those characters. I hope they didn't.
It looks like we'll Hush. See. But he might.
He
maybe
does.
He's not the Riddler.
That would be a mistake at this point in the second year of Batman. He doesn't have that rogues gallery yet. He doesn't have that relationship with the Joker yet, or even with the Riddler in this case. So I do not see that Matt Reeves would take that story and try to tell it in a year two.
You mean like setting up an antagonistic relationship between Batman and Superman when they've only just met? Yeah, Jammer. So we've gotten, what, 9 live-action Batman movies over the course of 30 years. So what is it that you're hoping that we get out of this that we haven't seen yet?
I think we kind of got the promise of that with this trailer. Very much sort of a mystery, David Fincher almost sort of feel. You know, you got a serial killer on the loose. You gotta put a stop to it. You know, him following breadcrumbs, him being a detective. That's what I want is sort of a mystery detective story, which, you know, Matt Reeves has been teasing for a while, as well as a sort of seamless integration of different members of the Rogues Gallery to where it feels natural that they're there, but it doesn't feel like it's just fan service. Like they each have sort of a role to play. And it's like sort of all a part of a bigger Batman tapestry, so to speak, without feeling forced. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, it's funny when you talk about force. Every time a conversation like this comes up, I think about Amazing Spider-Man 2, where it's just the dude walking down the hall of all the Spider-Man Rogues Gallery outfits. It's like, here we go. We're going to do it. We're going to do the thing. One of the things that I think is actually kind of cool about this trailer, and it not actually the trailer itself, but the trailer itself, the music that they use for Nirvana, it actually hit the charts again. So it became an iTunes bestseller and Amazon bestseller. Nirvana is Something in the Way, which I think is just funny how, you know, you saw this with Infinity War where, what was the song, Rubber Band Man hit the Billboard charts again.
With Us and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What the hell is that song called? I forget it, but you know what I'm talking about.
I forgot
how the song goes.
Five on It.
Oh yeah,
I got five on it.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I agree with Jammer though. I'm really excited that this is going to finally be a detective story. We got hints of it, I guess.
It's like with, guy with a Batman tattoo. Nolan's... Those are vibes I'm getting. Guy with a Batman tattoo. That's what I'm. Or the guy with a bat tattoo. That's what I want. Do you think this is going to be rated R? That's what guy with a bat tattoo. No. He is our Elizabeth Salander.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
No.
That's what I want.
I think the thing that I'm looking forward to is a Batman.
I like how I give a joking answer and you guys are like, nope, nope, not giving it to him. Nope. Sorry, Brandon, continue. I'm in rare.
No, I was just saying.
I think it's my.
I like you. Are you drunk? Are you high? Nick asked if you were high.
No, are you high? I have, it's funny because I get decaf, but I think this is like the strongest decaf I've had in a while.
The strongest decaf.
Well, because decaf has like a, you know, it has some caffeine in it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Continue, Brandon. Stop interrupting
the
podcast.
You got some white stuff on your nose. White stuff on your nose. Just clean that up. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how he handles the fight scenes. That's the thing that I'm the most curious about, because even though I wasn't a fan of Batman v Superman, the way Zack Snyder handled those fight scenes with Batman, I thought was really good. And it'll be hard to follow that up. So yeah. I'm curious what Matt Reeves can do. I think he's a very competent director. And I think he's done really good action scenes. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks in this. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to just randomly chime in on?
Well, that was a weakness that I think Nolan had. He wasn't a very good action director at the time. And I think he's gotten better. I haven't seen Tenet. I've seen, obviously, Dunkirk. He did it pretty well there. I'm just...
Yeah, but it's not the same kind of action.
It's not. It isn't. That's what I'm saying. I don't really know if he's evolved on sort of like fisticuffs action scenes or whatever. But yeah, Zack Snyder did a really good job with the Batman v Superman, but we haven't had like, you know, legit action scenes in like a Batman movie since, you know, The Dark Knight Rises. So I'm excited to see what kind we'll get. And I think that first, you know, shot of him beating the shit out of that guy was a good indication of sort of just like, we're going to stick on the action.
There's going to be something.
We're going to see him do it. Yeah, we're going to see. It's like just one shot, one brutal shot. Great choreography, great sound effects, great whatever. It's just, it was awesome. Loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did like that. One question I have for all of you guys, and this will be my last question before you guys can just jump in and say whatever. There were lots of conversations about the suit and the car prior to this trailer coming out. Now that you've seen them in motion, in an action and against the world that they're going to be in, has that improved or not improved? Have you gone the opposite direction in what you think about them? Anybody?
No, my expectations for the suit and the Batmobile are still the same. Like I mentioned before, this is a year two Batman, just kind of like Nolan's Batman, where the suit progressed as so did the movies. I think this is going to be the same thing, that we're going to see a better car, a better bat suit. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of this movie, we're looking at a different bat suit, but not only in practicality, and it makes sense in the story because Batman, as he fights his rogues, he improves his suit. I mean, hell, we saw ice skates on one of his suits.
But should we have?
I'm not going to get into that. that was close. But also just marketing, it makes sense. You can sell statues from the first movie, then statues from the second movie, and then for the suit, and then same thing for the third. So I think it's just going to be part of the overall storytelling. Is the evolution of Bruce Wayne as Batman, and part of that is, of course, his tech, his suit, his Batmobile, and it'll be a fun ride.
So I've heard rumors about his suit, because about 6 months ago, someone popped up on Reddit who claimed to work on it, and they claimed that his suit apparently gets destroyed like early on in the movie, and that he essentially has to do like sort of a makeshift suit, which he compared to sort of the Night Monkey outfit in Spider-Man Far From Home, or I guess the shield stealth suit is a better way of saying it.
I thought you were going to say Daredevil.
Oh, I mean, no, probably not that. I don't think it's that pared down, because he still has tech shit. He still's got stealth stuff. You know, maybe not a spare bat suit at this time, but he's got his stealth gear. So it's possible that that is what we're looking at for maybe the majority of the movie. Whenever, I don't know, do they freak the suit to a wood chip? I have no idea. Destroy a bat suit, but this gained a little bit more credibility in the trailer because the person who wrote that talked about a cathedral scene and a villain crashing the funeral, and we straight up saw that in the trailer, so that gives it an extra air of credibility. He also said that Catwoman has a very comics accurate suit, which we didn't see, so I don't know, it's got a 50-50 there, but you know, obviously we didn't see everything that they had to offer, and just because they shot 25% doesn't mean they shot the first 25%. Right. So who knows what it is that he might it sounds like he was on the level on some level, because the details he gave apart from that were spot on.
So there are two things that you said that jump out to me. The first one is the cathedral scene. So you see that explosion, and it looks like he gets caught in that explosion from that guy that had the bomb on his chest. And the second part is there that scene where he's beating up the thugs. There are question marks on his suit. So if you look on the what looks like his left breast, you can see like a question mark there. So he gets caught or captured or something. So I think there's probably some truth to some of that. At least that suit getting damaged.
Are the Juggalos a part of the Riddler situation, or are those like are they like I say joke because it's so obvious? Is there any other connection they could have? I joked Lobo because of the way their faces looked, but any idea of who they could be connected to that isn't the Joker?
Mr. Sunday Movies proposed that since we've never seen anything like the. You know, like the mutant and then the Batman fanboys in the Dark Knight Returns comic. Mm-hmm. This might be some kind of gang that even comes to worship Batman at some point.
Interesting.
And one of them has a split exactly down his face.
Yeah.
Makeup. Which I'm sure is just a slight reference to what's ahead, hopefully. I hope we don't have an already formed Harvey Dent, even though we have a different DA in this movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Especially since it's so early in his career, it'd be weird to already have a Two-Face.
Yeah. You never know. Like, we don't have to see the origin every single time, right?
Please God, no.
No, but like, I don't know. It seems like that's something that comes along later. Yeah.
I just desperately do not want to see pearls in this movie. I just don't
want to
see
pearls. Yeah, please no.
Like, no. Not a single pearl.
Martha Wayne, Thomas Wayne, and Uncle Ben just get it the worst, man.
You know, it's funny. We're going to get 90% of the way through the movie, and Brandon's going to be like, yes, not a single pearl. And then there's going to be like just a split shot, flashback, like split shot. You're just going to be, God damn it.
Flashback.
God damn it.
Yeah.
God damn it. Anything else on this movie before we move on? I think we're ready to move on.
I'm ready to move on. Looks great. I'm excited for it. Have to wait a while, sadly, but I'll get over it.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about Wonder Woman, because Jammer indicated that he is a sexist and misogynist monster. See, that's how you know I'm misogynist. Yeah, that's how you know I'm misogynist, because I can't even say it, nor can I spell it. So Wonder Woman 1984, we got a new trailer for this, new footage, and we got to finally see Kristen Wiig in full cheetah form.
Nick, that was a like I want to throw up.
You want to throw up? Okay, so tell me about this trailer.
Cats thing. Looks like cats. I mean, just that one particular part where she has the cheetah. I actually wrote a whole column on it that's out today. About why it's the most disappointing. It's why it's way more disappointing than the first trailer. They sucked all the fun out of the first trailer and made a typical like DC Marvel trailer, like pre-Thor Ragnarok. Last one was all 80s. I know that annoys some people today because we do get a lot of trailers like that. But, like, it was fun. It had like a perfect rendition of, I forget the name of the song. Yeah. And then like Maxwell Lord was almost cartoony, like Gene Hackman-ish, and like, if everyone just felt fun, and this one was like, oh, Maxwell Lord's a guy on a television show giving an ultimatum, or like, and Cheetah's has no, like, is just someone who's envious. And my favorite part, or least favorite part, is when she says, like, Barbara, what did you do? It's almost exactly the line where Spider-Man sees Eddie Brock in the Venom suit. He's like, Eddie, what have you done? And when I heard that line, I was like, ooh, cringeworthy.
Is that from Spider-Man 3?
Yeah. He says it to Eddie when he sees him.
You might be the only person in this room that remembers that
one. I know, but just when I heard that, almost line from line, read.
Yeah.
Craig. From a,
Nope. Shaking my head. Nope.
Yeah, I don't agree with you on that one. I don't think it's nearly close enough. That's no. No. And yeah, no one remembers that movie. Fuck that movie. No, it's not the cocaine. As my, I'm also told freaking Josie.
This oh, is he not starts rubbing his nose. It's not cocaine.
But like
it's
how cocaine. My nose is itching because I need to sneeze and I haven't been able to sneeze for the past hour. And
sure. Manny, what did you think of the Wonder Woman 84 trailer?
So I kind of agree with Jammer in the sense that it was compared to the first trailer.
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Don't credit me with that. That was
no. But what I'm saying, what I'm getting at is, compared to the first trailer, this trailer wasn't as exciting. Wasn't as fun. It wasn't as vibrant. And yeah, we get a cheetah reveal for a few seconds, but maybe it's because this movie was already supposed to be out. I mean, we've seen Wonder Woman's on bags of Doritos and things like that that had to go out anyway, because the market. I mean, you can't stop that. You can't stop
Doritos get stale.
Yeah, you can't just keep them. So I'm sure it's going to be a great movie. But as far as a trailer, it didn't do anything. Didn't bring anything new to me that I really wanted to see. As far as the cheetah reveal, I was actually yesterday they released a couple of stills of a statue for Cheetah that just she looked fantastic compared to the kind of the couple of seconds that we saw her on screen. So before I really give my full critique on, oh yeah, she just looks like one of the characters from Cats, which would be a travesty if that's the case. Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and let me watch the movie first, and then I'll give my opinion. But based on a couple of those little quick stills that they gave us, they might as well not have given us anything at all. If you're gonna show Cheetah, do what you did, which you shouldn't have done with Batman v Superman, and do that full doomsday reveal kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
And instead of just kind of in the shadows and spinning around or whatever, looking like Spider-Man, either show us or don't, because with what they did show us, it wasn't that exciting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost like an Aladdin situation.
Oh yeah.
No, I was just gonna say it's like an Aladdin. Yeah. Well, no, not quite as bad, but it's like you didn't have to show this. If it wasn't ready, like man, so it, and the, I don't want to mince your words. It sounds like you're saying it might not have been complete, right? The special effects on Cheetah.
No, actually, that's one thing that Nick brought up during the live stream that then made me raise an eyebrow was he mentioned that this movie was supposed to come out in June.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse that it's not ready yet, unless for some reason you know. Between March and June, they still weren't finished with it. But at this point, it's March through August.
Yeah,
it should be done. So
COVID, baby. They just couldn't. I don't think it looks that bad. Well, I don't think it looks that bad. I just think it's a bad
angle.
We haven't seen her. Bad angle. Not necessarily bad. Just sort of like it's moving around. It's our first look. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to like see what it is, and it's just not a good first look.
Right.
Set of shots.
Yeah, I agree with that.
100%. Okay, so maybe it's just a poor choice.
Okay,
hopefully that's okay. Jammer, you did not weigh in on this, did you? Did you say what you thought?
No, I didn't. I mean, okay. I actually liked it when the first couple times I saw it. I thought it was fun. I thought I had a good time watching it. But as I started to watch it a couple more times, it was very clear it didn't have the staying power of the other trailers. You know, the Batman trailer or the Justice League trailer. Like those ones really got feel like they got better as I watched them more and more. And this one was kind of like, yeah, it's kind of generic superhero trailer. Nothing super special about it. Nothing like identifying about it. So yeah, that's it. It was okay when I first watched it. I was pretty positive about it, and then over time, I was kind of like, and I have no desire to go back to it.
Okay, all right. Did you guys glean anything about the story from the second trailer that you didn't from the first one?
There is one thing that I really liked.
There is.
So what I really liked about the first Wonder Woman, apart from, you know, that whole third act, Ares, is that right? Yeah. Ares. Sorry, I was thinking of Final Fantasy. I was getting confused. The whole Ares fight at the end. I keep calling him Ares. At the end, where it was like not a great fight in terms of visuals or in terms of like all that. But there was a great ideological split between Wonder Woman and him, to where, to me, it was engaging because he was very much humanity is trash, humanity is awful, there's no point in saving humanity. And she kind of had the polar opposite, kind of seeing that growth over time and seeing an ideological clash. I thought that was powerful. And I'm getting the sense that we're going to see some of that here between her and the two villains. I forgot what it was that they said, but something that, that Pedro Pascal said that really, I don't know, I got an interesting something vibe. I don't remember what it was, to be honest, but it was a moment that I felt like was more human than I expected. And it made me kind of go like, oh, I wonder if we're going to kind of get, you know, his perspective on things that, and then it's going to clash with her perspective on things. I think I had a specific moment, but it's actually been a few days since I've watched it, so I don't remember what it is, but it seemed to imply a clash of that sort between, you know, hero and villain. I think whenever you do that, ideological clashes, that's the best way to do it. So I think that's a positive.
Okay. I do agree with Nick as well, that I think that the first trailer is more unique. As a story, I still think I'm interested in this movie. I think that Gal Gadot and Patty Jenkins did a good job with this character. And it will be, I think, bringing back Chris Pine for this, if it's for the reason that I think, that it will have just as good of an emotional punch, if not better, because I was not a fan of the third act of Wonder Woman. And what I think that they're going to do is, me theorizing, it'll be her having to choose to give him up, which is different than what happened in the first one. And I think her growing as a hero and letting him go is a better story than what happened in the last one. So that'll be that not fun to watch, but it'll definitely be interesting and as a,
it'll
as
be cathartic.
A story element. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that this is at least as good as the other one. So if not better, hopefully.
Yeah, and I shed all over the trailer, but I'm still down to see the movie. Maybe not in theaters, just based on COVID timing, but otherwise I would totally pay to see this in theaters.
Yeah, I agree. And so leaving the world of Wonder Woman, we're going to dovetail into Justice League, the Snyder Cut. So we got a nice long trailer for this. I think we learn something new? So this is now, I think the last time we talked about this, we did not know what format this was going to take place in. But now we know that this is going to be a 4-hour, basically miniseries that premieres sometime in 2021 on HBO Max. And so
but that isn't that means all. That it's also going to come out in theatrical form and apparently a black and white version.
Theatrical? They're going to do a theatrical release? Or they're going
not theatrical version, but like a film, like a version.
Did they say how much longer down the path that is? Because I probably prefer to watch it that way. Even
I don't think they specified. And then a black and white version.
The TV show's coming first.
I believe you're right, but I don't know 100% for sure. My guess is that they would release it over the course of however they release it, the 4 episodes. And then maybe a week later or so, they'll release it as a movie. And then who knows if it's going to be the black and white version or if there's going to be another version in addition to that. I don't know. But I don't understand people's obsession with black and white. I don't get it. I didn't understand it with Mad Max Fury Road. I don't understand it now. Black and white, don't get it. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it.
Logan was spectacular.
Yeah. No.
But I didn't get it as much on Mad Max.
I do think that as a, you know, given their typical release schedule, HBO has not conformed to the dump it all at once. So we'll get it, you know, within 4 weeks, we'll have the whole thing. I am curious how long it would take them because they want subscribers. So I would hold off for a month, even after all of it has been released, before releasing it as a full length 4-hour feature. There was a lot in here. So I think that what did the original clock in at about 2 hours, right? So we're getting 2 hours of footage.
I think 3 hours of additional footage.
That was my favorite part of the original.
3 hours.
It was under 2 hours with trailers.
3 hours of additional footage because he says that like half of that footage or more he's going to remove from that was from Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. It's like 3 hours of new footage.
So Manny, how did this trailer strike you? What'd you think?
It was kind of what I wanted out of a Justice League film right off the bat. It opens up. Darkseid. I was like, you got me? I'm sold. Darkseid's a big bad in the DC universe. He's a Jack Kirby character. I love those characters. And putting Darkseid back in the film actually makes a whole lot more sense now. Instead of just Steppenwolf talking to the mother box and saying mother, now you can go back to saying for Darkseid. You know, like, Yeah, what it's supposed to do. And then also you can add him back to the war for the cutscene in the flashback episode or episode scene. And true. So so overall, it looks better too. Superman coming back from the dead in a black suit makes a lot more sense, obviously, because the black suit catches absorbing more sun rays. Yeah. That's the whole. There's a purpose to it, which is I'm really surprised that Warner Brothers was so against it. We get to see a little bit more of Cyborg's character, which you can tell in the Whedon version. There's more to him. He's supposed to be his part was supposed to be bigger, but they chopped it up. So I'm very anxious to see the way that was supposed to actually play out. Just because we've seen it in like Justice League War, the animated film, and then in the comic books also, that his connection to the Mother Box is a pivotal role in them defeating Apocalypse for the first time, and yeah. Well, during that New 52 run. So just in total, I think it's going to feel like a more complete film, a movie. I think it's even going to be better than what they had. Well, obviously, there's more footage. Batman v Superman made a whole lot more sense with 30 more minutes.
Yeah.
And so I think that's going to be the case here. And at least maybe we can put this to rest, and then we can start campaigning for the air cut.
For the next one. Yeah. I do think it's funny that you say that, because even before Whedon's version came out, you saw all of the Cyborg scenes that got cut out. You saw him playing football. You saw him flying up like Batman 89 flying up through the clouds, and all that stuff got cut out. And it's interesting to hear Zack Snyder say Cyborg is the heart of this film. And so I'm curious where all of those story elements are going to go. I am disappointed. As somebody that follows this stuff, I was not aware of the fact that Silas died in this movie. And then in the trailer, they're just like, here, slapped it in my face like a dick, like he dies. I was like, what? And I think that was, for me, that was kind of disappointing. But I do agree that overall, it seems like we're getting a better movie. Like, here's some of the stuff that we're getting, some of the known differences. So, like Manny already said, we're getting Black Superman. We're getting Iris West. So, Kiersey Clemons, she's going to be in this. We're getting more Aquaman. So, that means Defoe and Hurd are coming back. We're going to get more of Cyborg's origin. We're also going to get something new. Snyder talked about the fact that, so the exact quote was, you're going to see something of Flash in this film I don't think that you have ever seen before, something that has to do with his abilities. He's a quantum character. He interacts with time and space. So you might see him do something that is awesome. Jammer, could you even hypothesize about what Snyder's talking about there?
It's funny because if it hadn't been so thoroughly explored in the Flash TV show, I'd be like, oh, it looks like he's running through the Speed Force. I mean, in the scene. And obviously we know he's doing time travel from Batman v Superman, or at least maybe that's planned for Justice League 2. We might not even see that specifically in Justice League 1. So fuck, man, I don't know. Like, I can't even think about it. I don't even know. Do you know, Manny? Like, you're probably more well-versed in the Flash than I am. Any thoughts as to what it could be?
I mean, I'm not... There's so much that he does. If we're comparing it to the TV show, maybe this time he's actually the fastest man alive.
Not going to have a bunch of speedster villains.
Yeah, but I'm sure that it has. Maybe we're going to see exactly how he ends up going back in time and talking to Bruce and Batman, Superman, or maybe it's even a cutscene at the end where he actually does go all the way back and teases Flashpoint or something like that. It would be with his range of powers that they've given him over the decades. There's such a wide variety of ideas of what he can do. I mean, he can multiply himself really quick to kind of speed force things, and maybe he's gonna jump into the speed force and come back 15 seconds before, and you know, and that's how they're going to take on Darkseid or something like that. So the possibilities are endless with the Flash.
Yeah, I think that the phrase you might see him do something, or you'll see him do something I don't think you've seen before. I'm very, very.
Do you think we'll see him attack a fan?
No.
I'm the fastest man alive. Just like kick him. So Nick Dahl, I mentioned a bunch of stuff that we're getting. One thing I didn't mention, we're getting more Nightmare stuff. Of all of the things that I did mention, what are you looking forward to the most?
None of it. I'm going to see the movie. It's just, nothing they showed in the trailer felt that new, especially since a lot of it was in the original trailer and just got cut. Like Flash doing the glass thing. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, shots of him playing football and stuff. I don't know. It felt like a big nothing burger.
You're a nothing burger.
Like,
yeah, I need you to like try.
I'm still gonna
like,
see it.
It's like pulling teeth. I need you to like try. Like, even if there's some just like some morsel of a thing, like I'm more curious about like Willem Dafoe. You never saw him in the trailer for the original, and you never saw him in this version. I assume you've seen Aquaman at this point. Have you seen it at this point?
No, he's not. No, he refused to see Aquaman.
No. The only one I skipped.
You know, he would have.
I guess I always like Willem.
He would have paid more attention to it. He would have said Marvel Studios at the beginning. Same trailer, Marvel Studios.
Willem Dafoe comes out. He's like, I'm something of an Aquaman myself.
That's good.
That was good. It's the only trailer I only watched once. And because it's happening, I didn't care if it happened or not. I'll watch it. It's gonna be annoying.
You're gonna have to edit out my deep.
I'm already like talking myself out of watching.
Don't edit that out. He needs to be able to hear that my and like deep, know
disappointed
that
fucking side.
You're causing anguish.
Oh, everything else offered something cool, but this was just kind of like here's the stuff you expect. Cool. I like Dark Side.
Going back
design.
To the original Steppenwolf design.
I love it.
Oh yeah, that fucking
armored up.
He liked Darkseid.
No, that's what I'm saying. Darkseid's awesome. I like Darkseid. I thought it was a really smart way to make him look, because in the comics, him and Thanos,
should have known.
You know, Darkseid came first, but they kind of look the same in the comics. So I like they changed the design enough that it's obviously not Thanos. It's DC's own thing. He's not like a big blue or a big purple guy.
They call him Thanos.
Yeah, I like Darkseid. Yeah, looks cool. No, but that's that's why I'm not. A lot of fans will see that, but that's what I'm not saying.
Like,
I think they differentiate.
You guys
him
are on Nick's dick to say something nice. He says
like,
something
oh,
nice.
Another
you guys freak
Thanos
out about
film.
It.
Oh no, I'm not on him to say something nice. I'm shaking my head because it's like even in talking about the movie, he still had to bring up Marvel, and it was funny because it brings it back to what Manny said, like Marvel logo.
But I mean, even in my mostly in my article last week. It's like impossible to talk about one without at least kind of comparing them. Like, or even this week, I mentioned Thor Ragnarok and Guardians, not because Wonder Woman's ripping them off, but because maybe some fans are tired of the 80s stuff and trailers. I use it for that. I mean, it's impossible. It's hard to talk about one without the other just because they're each other's distinguished competition. And they both put out great
stuff.
I guess
it's difficult to talk one without the other, but I don't think it's impossible.
It's difficult.
Like, I like the fact that Steppenwolf's design is back.
Yeah.
He's back and it looks awesome. He looks like a legit alien. He looks super cool and super imposing. They made him just beefier and
cool.
Metallic. And I'm excited to see what kind of havoc he can wreak.
Yeah, I am too.
He looks really unique, especially since they got rid of his just simplified face, it looks like from the first one.
And then there's the shot of him going at it with Superman, which I thought was cool. Sorry, I'm just kind of going through it here. You see Batman fighting parademons. So there was a scene that we saw, speaking of Flash earlier, you talked about. There's a scene in the Earth shots where we see it from the ground and we see people looking up in the sky and there's like some shit going down in the sky. I wonder if it's sort of like a Speed Force fight or something.
Mm.
Or because it looks like it's Flash created, whatever it was because of him. I'm curious what it is.
Yeah, his language was very cryptic, and it's interesting for all of the things that he has given up and shown about this movie. I am very curious about that. I am. It's so weird to say that I am oddly optimistic about this movie and would like to see it. Like the trailer actually did a lot to make me interested in this movie. So that's pretty great.
I had a sort of reverse feeling with this one because I think when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's just like a bunch of scenes, you know, with the Watchmen song played over it, which was annoying. And then it was like, you didn't get to hear much of anything except for, you know, the line at the end. And I was just like, that's kind of disappointing. But then I was watching it over and over again. I'm like, this is pretty. This is pretty. I like the way it looks. And, you know, it was funny. Another pastime I have online is going into YouTube and seeing those mashup trailers where people like, you know, cut a certain movie in the style of another movie trailer. And someone did that, said for Avengers, Infinity War and Endgame in the style of just this Justice League. And it really just highlights to me, I'm like, Zack Snyder, man, he knows visual storytelling so fucking well that, you know, it just does not, the style does not work with the Avengers movies at all because their shots are very utilitarian. They're getting the job done. You know, they're for lack of a better word, no offense to whoever's working on it, but it's because of the whole system. It's like, you're getting it done. You're flipping those burgers. You're getting the content out there. And, you know, the storytelling is amazing and fantastic and some of my favorite out there. But as far as like visual storytelling that you could set to like a quiet trailer, it does not compare to what Justice League offers at all, like remotely close.
Now who's bringing up Marvel, bitch?
That's a good point. You're right. I did bring up Marvel.
See, it's hard to talk about one without the other.
There was something else I wanted to say. You got me. You got me, Nick. What else did I want to say? I'm looking through here. We got Flash still running weird. So we might see Martian Manhunter.
Oh, yeah. I definitely noticed that. Yeah. Where he's like all beat up.
So I don't know what you're talking about there. What are you talking about?
Oh, the original actor looks like he's slightly scarred.
Oh, is he?
Like he's about to like. I think there's one shot of him.
Oh, I didn't notice.
And I can't remember the context. But, yeah, it's like the original actor.
The reason why, Harry Lennox, right?
Yep.
The reason why is because November, October of last year, Zack Snyder shared a storyboard where Martha Kent is visiting Lois Lane. And then after they say goodbye outside the door, you know, he transforms into Lennox's character.
Swanson.
Swanson, that's not it.
I think
is
that's
this Swanson?
It. I think it is Swanson.
Swan something. General whatever.
Swan Song.
And he Swan Song. And then transforms into Martian Manhunter. So I'm like, are we gonna get to see that scene? Are we because that we saw that shot of you know them hugging in the hallway outside of the door. And if that's possible, if we could see some Martian Manhunter, A, it would be cool, but B, would he include it, period? Because is this something where it's just going to kind of be a nod to the future? Or did he look at it and say, this would be great if I was getting Justice League 2, but since I'm not, I'm going to cut it out. Like, I don't know what approach he would take.
So in other words, are you asking is Zack Snyder going to be petty still? Because if you think about it, he spent years just on Vero, just like, yep, this is what it's supposed to be. It was supposed to be this, and now this, and then this, and then this. And so now this movie is this his big I told you so, and this is what more I wanted to bring, Martian Manhunter, here's Iris West, here's my version of the Speed Force, here's Darkseid, by the way, and screw you executives for making my movie all weeded.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that. I think the question it would raise for me is, where is Martian Manhunter in the last fight then?
Oh, the trailer is missing one thing. I hope they still add Ryan Reynolds.
Fuck off.
He said no.
All right. So Suicide Squad. This will be the last thing we talk about.
The Suicide Squad.
Fuck off. Suicide Squad kills Justice League. How about that?
No, it's... I don't want to talk
That's
about
right.
That.
That's right. So the Suicide Squad, James Gunn, the Suicide Squad. We got a trailer for it, which didn't show a lot of footage, but it gave us a lineup of who all these characters are going to be, who all these actors are playing. And we got a lot of behind the scenes footage, seeing more of the trailer. I'm curious. Finally got it, huh? Got the cocaine.
I finally sneezed. Thank God.
Okay.
Yeah. It took me about an hour into recording, but I did it.
So we got a lot of behind the scenes footage of these characters. I'm curious, Jammer, why do you think they did that? So why did they give us like a roster style trailer and then give us behind the scenes footage?
What do you mean? Why did they do it that order or
in that way? So the first one wasn't even a trailer at all. It was just like, here are the actors and the characters they're playing. Right.
Because it's called the Suicide Squad, and you're just like, I want to see who's making up the Suicide Squad this movie. And I think the coolest part or I guess one of the most disappointing parts of the last one, it was called the Suicide Squad, and then you just had one guy die, and that was the guy, I guess maybe two. Did Diablo die? I don't remember.
Yeah,
three.
Yeah, he died at the end.
I think it was three.
So
you got Killer Croc, Diablo, and then Grappler. Dude,
yeah, he had the rope guy who you knew was gonna die because he was
immediate
for trailers.
Like that guy's gonna die.
And so basically, like they didn't live up to their name, right? Whereas you know this one, James Gunn was clearly like, hey, it's called Suicide Squad. I'm gonna get rid of half of them, so I'm gonna give you like 87 people, and then you can just have fun watching all of them die in unique ways, or half of them die in unique ways. So I mean, that's why I think it's fun with this type of movie, just to do a roll call, see all of the different types of villains we're going to be getting. And just sort of it ignites the imagination. It's like, ooh, how is this guy going to interact with this guy? Or how are these different, very visually different styles play off of each other? So that's why roll call makes perfect sense for me. And then the behind the scenes footage was great as well. That's, I guess, why. That answers your question.
Okay. Yeah, it does. I was curious what your thoughts were. That makes sense. That is a good thing. Manny, are you excited for this? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I honestly, the style of movie that he's making, based on what I've seen behind the scenes, is what I thought that they were going to let David Ayer do in his movie. I don't think that the Suicide Squad necessarily should be going up against all these kind of mythical monsters or beings or things like that. They're better if they're infiltrating an island or in Russia, trying to bring back an asset or something like that. It just works better. I really thought that the film was going to have the feeling I got was like, oh, please let this be something like a maybe not as violent Smoking Aces, which is one of David Ayer's other films. But I mean, now with James Gunn and what he's doing, the vast variety of cast that he has, and them going on, it looks like another island too, where we're probably peacemakers working out of or something like that. It's going to be a little bit more grounded, I think, and that's going to do wonders for the Suicide Squad. It's going to let the individual character shine a little bit more, and maybe even just because, kind of piggybacking what Jammer said, because they're known characters, they're known actors, you're going to care a little bit more. So like if Jesus, what? I can't even remember his name. It doesn't matter. Any of them. If once they get their head cut off or shot or something, you're going to be like, oh, damn, he's dead too? And it's going to make it more fun. But that's the whole idea of the Suicide Squad. Most of the team doesn't make it back. Granted, you know that Harley Quinn's not going to die. You know that probably Idris Elba's character is not going to die. Definitely not Boomerang. You can cross those off. Rick
Ford. I don't know. I feel like Boomerang might. I could see it happening.
Like Idris Elba might die.
There's just a core group of characters that you're just like, no, they're not gonna. But everyone else, you have Polka Dot Man, and you have Javelin, and you have other characters I've never heard. Rat Killer 2, to name a few. You're like, they're a little bit more expendable. But it makes for a lot more fun movie. And given the track record that Gunn has with Guardians of the Galaxy, you're kind of like, all right, you know, and you're going to give it a better shot. Also, the other thing is with this variety of cast, one example, Bloodsport, it's announced that he's in the movie. Last week, as of Friday, his first appearance was Superman in the Superman 4 1987. That book was 99 cents. That's the value of that book. Now, after Saturday, that book is $25. because obviously the first thing some flippers are going to do is go find the first appearance of Polka Dot Man, Bloodsport, and all these other characters, whatever, and then flip them. And that's the comic book market for you.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you said infiltration, because it reminded me of that one episode of Justice League Unlimited. It's called Task Force X, where you saw the Suicide Squad infiltrate the Watchtower, and that was a really, really good episode of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fun. Nick Dahl,
I dug it.
Should I even ask?
I like it.
Really? Oh god.
Of course, I liked the Batman too. We didn't talk as long about it, but I love. Yeah, that's like a jungle, almost Vietnam type atmosphere. So if I'm not mistaken, the very first run was like a Vietnam mission or something very similar, where they're out in the jungle And like the same thing that happens in the first movie happens where Captain Boomerang goads what's his face? Can't remember. Slipknot into like testing it out, and he gets his hand blown off because of that. It's then their arm, not their head. So yeah, I really like that change. I'm really surprised we didn't get a trailer, because we even got a trailer for the Batman, which is, whereas I think Suicide Squad is wrapped, but just has a lot more special effects in it. But they worked hard to give us a Batman trailer, and maybe this is the way James Gunn wants to do it. And I actually saw that. I watched a lot of Mr. Sunday movies stuff, and they were joking that maybe they didn't show a trailer because the disastrous thing that happened to the first Suicide Squad, where the trailer tone kept shifting and the movie kind of became a trailer. And so maybe that's why they didn't do it that way. But it was fun watching the reveals. And I know everyone says this theory now, though I came to it really quick, even though it would be almost a cliche at this point, because Taika Waititi is always playing cool characters with his little soft voice. I still think he's going to be a King Shark. King Shark, though, looks way better in this than he does in the video game trailer. Yeah. I think he's actually pretty close to the Harley Quinn version, which I
enjoy. Yeah. Condiment King, bro, is one of my favorite characters of all time.
Condiment King.
Just wanted to point that out. Shout out to Condiment King.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I do think that it'll be interesting to see what they...
Hell yeah.
I actually like the fact that they did that. I feel like Batman has more to prove than the Suicide Squad. It's weird because it's almost like Suicide Squad sells just based on James Gunn's name. I remember...
Yep. And Margot Robbie, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Birds of Prey didn't do that well, but she sells a lot of movies.
I think James Gunn is a bigger draw than Margot Robbie, and especially given what he did with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And so just rolling out those names, just like Jammer said, I think they're trading on that. Just his reputation as a director and dealing with large casts and groups of personalities and individuals. And it'll be fun. With Batman, with Robert Pattinson being Batman, while I think people have kind of gotten over this backlash, I still think that maybe Warner Brothers felt that there was something more that they prove with the reveal. And so that's why we got that trailer that they pushed out. So
Batman is a prestige character for them. Like he's a prestige character, whereas Suicide Squad had that David Ayer movie that nobody liked. So you can only go up from there. And you have James Gunn. I think the best description they had was in that behind the scenes where they said, it's a gritty war movie, but you know, with the characters and comedy brought from James Gunn. And I'm just like, yeah, this is taking that concept and then tempering it with his own flair, and he's got it.
Yeah, I agree. Manny, what you say? You out?
Yeah, I gotta go.
Well, listen.
All right, later, Manny.
Yeah, appreciate having you on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take care, guys.
All right, later. So with Manny rolling out, we can talk about the video games. And there were two that came
Autobot style.
What?
He was like, with Manny rolling out, I was like, Autobot style. And then you just got confused.
Oh, did I say roll out? I didn't even think about it. That phrase is just such a part of my lexicon that it doesn't even register as being that. So I think we can combine these games. I know, Nick, you're not particularly even interested in talking about them. I'll just jump out and say, so we've got two games. We've got the Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League, and we've also got Gotham Knights. I don't think I'm particularly interested in playing either one. So one of them, with the Suicide Squad, that's being developed by Rocksteady, and that's going to be coming to consoles and PC in 2022. And so we've got four main characters. Yes, definitely next gen. And it's going to have four main characters, Harley Quinn, Deadshot, King Shark, Captain Boomerang, fighting the Justice League. It'll be 1-4 player co-op, and all four characters will be represented, and you can just have somebody jump in and out, or you can have the AI jump between them. And it's weird to me that this is the game that is taking place within the Arkham universe and not Gotham Knights, which is also, yes. Yeah. So Will Arnett or he was the host. I don't remember if he asked, but they were talking to the co-founder of Rocksteady. So Sefton Hill, he's the co-founder of Rocksteady and he's the creative director. He said that this is part of the Arkham universe. So you are going to see some things. And the other game, Gotham Knights, is also a co-op game, but I think it's only 1 to 2 players. And this one actually looks like the Rocksteady games, but it's developed by WB Montreal, who did Arkham Origins. And this one's coming out next year, and it's not a follow-up to it, but yeah, it's not a follow-up to it. It's coming out next year. And the weird thing about it is it seems like it's a follow-up to those, to the Arkham game, but just the straight-up Arkham series by Rocksteady, because it starts with Batman saying that he is dead. So there's a news report, and then Batman talks to the Bat family. He says that I'm dead. And if you played Arkham Knight, you know that's what happened at the end of that game. So it's a weird crisscross thing. The gameplay for that one looks kind of fun. We didn't get any gameplay footage for the Suicide Squad, but with Gotham Knights, right. And with Gotham Knights, we at least got some gameplay footage, and it looked a lot like the Origins game / Rocksteady game. But the big difference was there weren't takedowns like there were in those games, but you also had a lot of RPG elements.
So well, I do have a suspicion that one might be next gen and current gen
pop up.
Because at least the trailer they showed us didn't look any better than. In fact, I wouldn't say it looked even as good as Arkham Knight, like graphics wise. But so I'm hoping this one I can actually play, because I'll play it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I even played Arkham Origins.
Humor. Sup?
I'll play Gotham Knights. Really? I mean, the most annoying thing of Origins.
So you'll play Gotham
Knights? They switched two of the buttons, at least on Xbox, to do different things than they did
the Suicide Squad.
Other games that were more official. Hopefully Kevin Conroy will be in Suicide Squad, since that's the same universe, because obviously he's not in this one. Oh, and just the Court of Owls is actually really, really fascinating that they're using that storyline. So,
yeah. I mean, it'll depend, right? So if it is a follow-up to the Arkham series, he's supposed to be dead, right? After Arkham Knight. So we'll see what happens. Jammer did either of these.
I'll check him out like a little bit. I'm not committing to that. I'm looking at the footage right now, and I'm just like, I remember thinking like, yeah, it looks pretty cool, but I'm not like I'm not a huge comic book gamer. They usually don't appeal to me that much.
Yeah.
They look like they could be fun. They look kind of similar in how you could between the different characters and stuff, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'll try it, but I'm not gonna buy it.
Okay.
And we'll see what kind of reviews they get. But yeah, I guess I have nothing really interesting to say about it, other than the fact that it looked fine. They looked fine.
Yeah. The thing that jumped out to me about the Suicide Squad trailer, the game, was it reminded me of Sunset Overdrive, which was really weird. I don't know if that was intentional or not. There's something about the colors moved, and the way they pop, and even the way that they moved. Yeah, all of that stuff looked like it was straight out of Sunset Overdrive. And I'm curious, was it just the same? I know it's not the same studio, but I can't even imagine. I cannot say. What caused that, why they would go in that direction. Does that actually have any impact on the gameplay? But it'll be interesting to see. We'll find out next year.
Or the year after.
No, that's Suicide Squad.
Well, one that was next year. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's Gotham Knight that's coming out next year. I'm sorry.
Suicide Squad's 2022. Gotham Knight. I hope it is current gen and next gen, because I would like to play that one. I have less interest in Suicide Squad.
And the last big story that came out of DC fandom was Black Adam, which I don't really care about. And either of you, if you Jammer or Nick, if you all just love The Rock,
didn't show us anything,
or you're just particularly interested in Black Adam and its Justice Society, you can just feel free to jump in and say something.
If Kevin Hart isn't part of the Justice Society,
if he isn't,
be hell to pay.
You mean Usain Bolt?
Oh God, I saw that. I saw that.
I think
online.
You mean Usain Bolt.
but yeah, like no, there's nothing interesting. It was like, yeah, they had nothing to show because they didn't shoot anything, so it was just The Rock talking at you. What I think is really funny is how there was a leak image of The Rock with this is The Rock silhouette in that sort of canyon corridor. People were like, first look at Black Adam. I was like, no, that's just The Rock. That's just the Rock standing. There's no costume stuff. There's just some Boss Logic art, and I'm sure it'll be fine. But you know, there's nothing to show for it. So like,
it's happening. We've known that for years and doubted it and known it and doubted it.
Yeah. So it's sure it's happening. Great, great stuff. But nothing to show for it yet.
Scorpion King, Superman. That's what we're getting.
That is what we might be getting.
So, moving on to our last segment. Who watches? Who watches the Watchers? I've stopped watching anything. So I finished Doom Patrol and I'm reading Lovecraft Country. So I'm going to see if I can
nerd
where I am in the show. I'm already 5 episodes. I am a nerd. I'm a standard issue nerd. So I'm 5 episodes into Lovecraft Country and I'm going to see if I can read the book before you guys catch up to where I am. Doom Patrol, better than Umbrella Academy. And I think I enjoyed the first season of it more than the first season of The Boys. And that's where I'm at right now. Nick Dahl, what you watching?
Lost Shark Tank reruns. And then episode 2 of Lovecraft
Country.
County, which I, country, I keep calling it county because it almost makes more sense, but it doesn't make more sense, which I love. The second episode gets really weird.
Yeah, the second episode was weird. It went from it felt kind of like a almost like Watchmen, like companion to like, oh, we're just going to go straight cartoony here. And I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. You're not explaining things. It's like you're making me sit in mystery for long periods of time. And it's given me very little to sort of glom onto in terms of like what makes sense and what's happening. And so like, yeah, it was fine. I'll watch more of it. But I think for me, episode 2 was like a huge step down to me from episode 1.
Well, definitely, like, it still dealt with racism, but not as directly with them being chased by people with guns, like in the pickup truck, like in the first episode.
And I'm a simple man. Give me a character with, you know, something to run from or run to, and I'm like in. But it gave me this sort of weird, what's the word? Just ethereal, confusing stuff, and you lose me fast. The second I stop knowing what's going on or knowing what our goal is, it's just kind of like, what are we doing here? Like, what's happening?
Did you watch on the next episode of Lovecraft Country?
I didn't. No.
I usually try to avoid it, but I couldn't. I want to know where it goes next. I can kind of see what Jonesy has said about it just completely shifting.
Okay.
Just based on the footage they showed. It looks nothing like the last 2 episodes we've seen.
Okay.
So I can definitely see that. I don't know what's going to happen, but it almost feels like they're even not switching genres completely. It definitely feels like a horror series, but they're looks like they're switching a lot up. It almost looks like they're switching up horror genres, like subgenres, maybe even is the right word to say it, but I'll find out.
You know, if there ever is like an animated version of a Kylo Ren show, you should play the voice, but only early in the morning, Nick. of Kylo Ren.
Not sounding any better yet?
No, you sound exactly the same as you did earlier.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Jammer, are you watching anything other than Lovecraft Country?
So it's been a week for me, and I was drawn by an HBO Max ad to the new Selena Gomez chef show. Selena Gomez and Chef show. Yeah, because I was watching it and it was the ad and it looked funny. So I was like, all right, I'll watch it. And it was fun. It was basically just her cooking and with the other people. And it was like people hanging out and cooking in their kitchen. And I was like, I like cooking shows. So I'm watching that. I blew through the whole thing or the first 6 episodes I've blown through. Yeah, that's what I've been watching. What else I've been watching? I've been reading. Last week I started reading this manga series called Time Paradox Ghostwriter. So for those who don't know, the way that manga series are published in Japan is every week they come out in a big magazine that's like, you know, for probably like a few bucks, and it has like 20 different serialized stories, and it's a new chapter printed each week on like shitty newsprint paper. And you basically just buy the whole thing and then you basically read all the stories that you follow and then you throw it away. And it follows a manga artist and he's not very good and he can't seem to create a story that works for him. And then one day in the microwave comes an issue of Shonen Jump from 10 years in the future. And he finds it's the issue 1 of like a story or issue 1 volume or chapter 1 of a story. And because he thinks he can't find it later after he reads it. He thinks it's amazing. He can't find it afterwards. And he's like, oh, I must have been dreaming because of how like a little sleep I've been having. So he basically plagiarizes that and decides to kind of run with that as his idea. And each week a new issue comes out. So he basically starts copying that. And then another character, a girl character who's like a high schooler, she's just like, why are the characters that I've been making up in my notebook all of a sudden in this Shonen Jump magazine? And it kind of just goes from there. And it's really weird because it feels like it's a great concept that should have been dragged out over the course of like, you know, a year's worth of issue or year's worth of chapters, except it like goes really quickly. It's almost like The Good Place, where something you think will take a full season happens like in a single episode. Oh yeah. And also it was canceled. So it's like not going past chapter 12. So it was a really cool concept. And I was interested to see where it goes. I was like, oh, I really relate to this character because it almost kind of addresses the idea of imposter syndrome that this character has, except it takes it to the next level where it's like super imposter syndrome. Yeah. And I just thought it was interesting. And yeah, it's not going to continue. So I wasted my time.
What'd you say it was called? Altered Carbon?
Is that what Altered Carbon's about?
No,
what's that
the
about?
Idea is it got canceled.
Doesn't matter. It's been canceled.
Oh, it's been canceled. Yeah. So I'll never get to see what happens there. But it was fun. I liked it.
Cool.
I have... It's not even mission news. I have disappointment in Tom Cruise.
No, actually, I do want to hear this.
Did you see the video he put out, Brandon?
Oh, yeah, I saw the video.
I know you did, Jammer. No. He put out a video just being like, it's time to go back to the movies. And he's like driving the movies in like his N19 or whatever mask. And like him and Christopher McQuarrie are sitting in the row waiting for Tenet to start. And he's like, yeah, it's time for everyone to head back to the movies. You can't match the sound and the picture. And the theater's packed. I know he's in London, but the theater, every seat.
Well, okay. It's not packed, but they're not social distancing at all in that theater.
No. And I just saw that and I was like, I'm disappointed in you, Tom. Like, you're going to get people killed.
I pitched that. The article title was.
I loved
like,
your article about
risks,
it.
What the hell did I say? Or his most.
His most life, impossible his most, stunt yet.
His most life threatening stunt
not
yet.
Catching coronavirus.
Going to the movies.
Yeah. So that's all. I wasn't. See, I just wanted to say it because I was maybe disappointed in a hero of mine. Because I was like, don't kill people by telling them to go back to the movies, Tom.
I'm actually. So it's weird. I don't know. We could talk about this on the show or not. Actually, let's shut it down. I'll talk to you guys.
Oh,
about
no. I want to hear this.
No, it's not a show topic. It's just frustrating that you see reviewers who are like, people review Tenet, right? So people went to see Tenet so they could review this movie, right? Yeah. And then right after that, you also saw people say, we're not going to review New Mutants until Disney does X, Y, Z, and blah, blah. It's like, really, that's the hill that you're going to die on, a movie that's been delayed 50 million times already, but you fucking went to see Tenet. So what? And it's because you wanted those eyes on your website. You wanted Tenet review on your website, and you don't give a fuck that no one will know about a review for New Mutants. That's how I feel. I don't know if it's true. I haven't done any research on it, but it's one of those things where you see headlines, you just have a reaction. Like, that's my guttural reaction to that. And that, you guys would know better than me. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to talk about it, because I haven't looked at it for myself other than just like that bare bones of what I'd seen.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's been available and stuff, and what sort of, if there's different circumstances, or if, I don't know, did like, I guess we got to take a look at who's reviewed Tenet, and was it one of those sites that says, we're not going to review the New Mutants? Because if that's the case, then it's pretty bad. But we don't know for sure. I haven't looked.
Yeah, don't know. So feel free to edit, delete, whatever. You guys got anything else to discuss before I shuts it down?
What else have I been watching? Oh, Aggretsuko Season 3 is out on Netflix. I need to watch it.
I'm so mad. I'm so angry. I just found that out today.
Well, that's great, though. It's perfect. It's the same day. You're good.
Yeah, no, but still. It came out today? On a Thursday?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
At least for me.
Well, that's cool, baby. I love me some Agrusetsu. I can't even say the name.
Aggretsuko.
Agrusetsu.
Is it?
No, it's Aggretsuko.
Aggretsuko. Aggretsuko?
It's because her name is Retsuko, and it's like supposed to be aggressive Retsuko.
Aggressive? So yeah. Okay. Interesting. Well, all right. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Wrap it up.
Dude, I'm sweaty. It's hot.
Dear listeners, if you like Sweaty Jammer, subscribe, like, rate, comment, and share. We'd really appreciate it. And if you like COVID, Kylo Ren, Nick, do all those same things. Also, LRM has other great other great programs for your listening pleasure. You can find those on LRMonline.com as well as articles if you're reading and enjoying them. Nick Dahl, where can you be found?
And you can find me right for LRMonline.com as well as here on the podcast. I am at LRM_Nick on the Twits. If you want to check out my latest column on LRM.com, Blaze, come at me, bro. I discuss how disappointed I was in the Wonder Woman 88 trailer.
Is that the sequel? Is that the sequel to Wonder Woman 88?
I always say that. It's because I was born in 88, and it used to be the end of a lot of my past codes.
You know, you had it out for yourself. You could have just said that. I was born in 1988, but now you're gonna go like, oh, it's in all of my passwords. It's actually my PIN number. It's actually
It's not actually on those. I used to, like, right now on Xbox, I'm Nick Dahl 88, so it's more.
So if you guys get a hold of Nick Dahl's debit card, chances are 1988 is the PIN.
No, that is not my code.
Good. I'm glad you won't say what it is.
Such self-restraint. I won't tell you my password. Jammer, where can you be found?
I can be found online on Twitter at JamTheWriter and on entertainment stuff at LRMonline.com. And you can find all of my novels under the name AJ Cerna on Audible or Amazon.
That's great. And you can find me. It is in the last. And you can find me on Twitter at SergeMathias. Contribute to the website, LRM Online, and of course, right here on Breaking the Podcast. Folks, as always, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Let the past die.